expressed on this special broadcast of the K-12 Radio Show do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting or its affiliates. KHLT is not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
Every broadcast is special. Huey Lewis and the News. I remember when that song came out, I thought, that is the coolest song ever. As I popped open another can of beer. I just love that song. I just love it. I love it. I love it. I am feeling chipper today. I've had a cup of coffee, which I usually don't have, so look out. Welcome to Open Forum Wednesday. For all of you scallywags who tune in. And for those of you who aren't listening, well, it won't matter because you're not hearing anything I say. So, there you go. Eve D is here. Bruce H is here. God is here. My two pet rats. You guys have not said one word about my two pet rats sitting on my desk.
Well, I was hoping they'd go away.
My wife's hoping that, too. I don't know what got into me. We were at a dollar store somewhere, and I saw these two black rats. And I thought, I've got to have those.
Alrighty.
Yeah. So, haven't you ever done anything compulsive like that when it comes to shopping?
Never.
Liar.
Not black rat.
Hey, listen, for those of you who are listening, you might want to take a listen to it. It's a very interesting broadcast. It'll be playing till Friday. Four-star General Barry McCaffrey, former drug czar for the United States, out of the White House, and the current reigning Miss America for New Mexico for 2013, and another gentleman are speaking. I did an interview with them, a short interview. It's about 15, 20 minutes. This is National Recovery Month, yay, and we talked about some different things. We talked about the Parity Act. We talked about treatment. We talked about some of this stuff. That's very interesting. If you are in the recovery community, you really need to pay attention. You really do. This stuff is important. But some very interesting statements were made. I'll let you decide whether you agree or disagree with some of the things that were said. And then we have Jennifer Rauter. She is what we would deem an accidental addict. She wasn't out there partying. She wasn't out there abusing drugs or alcohol or anything like that. But she got herself into some medical issues. She got herself. Her body did. And she ended up on Valium and some other drug, benzodiazepines, and what it did to her, how it almost took her life. And I don't, you know, you can lose your life and still be alive. This stripped her of everything, and she's got a lot to say about it. She is a woman who is in love with God, and she is still reaping some of the physical, mental, and emotional consequences of what these drugs did to her. You don't want to miss that. It's very, very interesting stuff. That'll be playing until Friday. And then this Friday, we have the director for the L.A. County Teen Challenge is going to be on the show, Henry Lozano. And he's got some very interesting things to say. If you've ever wondered about what's going on in L.A. County as far as recovery goes and as far as the drug and alcohol problem, hold on to your seat. There's some pretty strong stuff going on down there. So he's going to be on. He's going to be talking about the Walk for Recovery that they're going to be doing as well. We are back from Cape Cod, Marcia and I. Also Friday, we're going to be launching forth on the C4 dedicated webpage some of the interviews that we conducted while we were at Cape Cod at the Cape Cod Symposium on Addictive Disorders. So you don't want to miss that. Again, it sounds kind of technical, but let me tell you, there's some really interesting stuff going on in Washington with some of our representatives as far as representing the recovery community. You really need to be informed about this stuff. If you are all involved in the recovery community or if you're a family member or advocate. So check that out. We got Ben Levinson, CEO from Origins of Dr. Phil fame. He's on. We've got some of the speakers. We got Dan Griffin from A Man's Way Through the 12 Steps talking about men and trauma. We've just got some very interesting people. We've got Jimmy Sr. from Serenity Springs. He's one of the guys we interview. We've got board member after board member of C4 Recovery Solutions on the show. You don't want to miss that. Check it out. If you get bored with it, you can always turn it off. But give it a chance. Turn it on, would you please? All right. Today on Open Forum, we are continuing with the 12-step prayers out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we're going to be unpacking two prayers that involve the sex inventory. But before we do that, let's listen from our sponsor and trivia.
He's new. He is Santa Monica Sam. SantaMonicaSam.blogspot.com. Check out his music. Check out his fresh approach. Check out the solution. That's SantaMonicaSam.blogspot.com. Sponsoring this show at Take12Radio.com. This show Santa Monica at Take12Radio.com.
Like a Santa Monica Sam. When it sings from the tree, I'll be singing about the one who created me.
Okay, if you ever wondered what trivia stands for, T-R-I-V-I-A, I have a treat for you.
T is for the time he takes to make it fun. R is for the way his questions make you want to run. I is for the insults you throw at him each week. V is for his victory as he turns the other cheek. The other eye is the one you pluck out if it offends. And A is for the answers he blesses you with at the end.
T-R-I-V-I-A.
Won't you take me to Funky Town? All right, it's...
Once again, I'm speechless. Absolutely speechless.
Amazing.
He really puts a lot of time. You know, I'm thinking that he lays awake in bed at night with a little pencil and pad of paper.
And you would be right. Sometimes I jump up in the middle of the night going, hey, I got an idea. Where are you going? I'm out of the studio. It's 3 a.m. I got something good to do.
I believe it.
Okay, the bonus question hints will come as sound bites. They're to a TV show, an old TV show.
Instead of this thing going away, it's advancing.
It is, isn't it? Charge. Okay. All right, question number one. We have three questions, and then the bonus is related. Don't give the bonus question answer away until the end if you know it, what the sound bites, what TV show the sound bites are to. Okay, but the first question, and these are big book trivia, comes from the family afterwards. Let them praise his progress. Let them remember that his drinking wrought all kinds of A, chaos, B, damage, C, harm.
Harm.
Let them praise his progress. Let them remember that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Chaos, damage, or harm?
Harm.
Well, you're both wrong. It was damage that may take long to repair.
Never fear, Smith is here.
There's your first soundbite clue for the TV show. Okay, question number two. This is in two employers. If you desire to help, it might be well to disregard your own drinking or lack of it. Whether you are a hard drinker, a moderate drinker, or A, a drunk, B, a teetotaler, or C, an alcoholic.
Would you repeat that, please?
If you desire to help it, help, it may be well to disregard your own drinking or lack of it. Whether you are a hard drinker, a moderate drinker, or a drunk, B, teetotaler, or C, an alcoholic.
Teetotaler.
Yeah, teetotaler.
You are correct. Yay!
Warning, warning, warning! Alien approaching!
Okay, that's soundbite number two. Okay, question number three. This is for the big bucks. Okay, this is from A Vision for You. They knew they had a host of new friends. It seemed they had been, or they had known these strangers always. They had seen miracles, and one was to come to them. Here it is. They had visioned the great reality, their loving and all-powerful A, God, B, Creator, or C, higher power.
Creator.
Creator.
Creator is correct. Oh, you guys got two right out of three. Wow. You don't win anything. Here's hint for TV show. Hint number three.
This is the Jupiter 2. Identify yourself, please.
All right. Any guesses?
Yeah, I know the show, but I can't tell you the name of it. Where that, as that robot goes around, danger, danger, danger.
Yeah?
Something Outer Space.
I think we should give it to her. Lost in Space.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is the name. Very good. Okay.
I think we should give it to me, too.
I'll give it to you. Right to the moon, Alice. All right.
Well, I was on the crossword puzzle the other day, and it wasn't the honeymooners. It was, what was it? Oh, I can't remember now. I wish I wouldn't have said anything.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, he was a bartender, I think, or something.
Oh, was that Jonathan? Was it Jonathan Winters that did that? Who did the bartender?
The bartender was the same one for
Jackie Gleason.
Jackie Gleason.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. I remember that show. And at the end, he's rubbing down the bar mm-hmm, and he's mm-hmm, singing. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Wow. Gosh. Houlihan? Something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I can't either. That's why I wished I wouldn't have said
that. I'm going to stay awake all night.
Well, you've got the internet there. You could just type it in there.
I could.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to.
All righty then.
But I have that power. Powerless? Heck no.
He'd rather have an excuse to come up and come out here and think up these trivias.
Okay. If you ever thought about doing something before you do your inventory, here's an interesting thought. How about a pre-sex inventory prayer? And as funny as that may sound, there is actually one. And this is from the thoughts on page 69. God, please help me to be free of fear. And we know that this can be a real fearful area for people to talk about their sex inventory. One of the reasons, and we can talk about this as we go, before I finish reading this, is because we think the sex inventory, before we investigate this thing, we think that it's all about sexual activity. And that's not what it's all about. That's part of it, but that certainly is not... That certainly is not the main focus. There's a lot more behind that. So God, please help me to be free of fear as I attempt to shine the spotlight of truth across my past sex relations. Lord, please show me where my behavior has harmed others and help me to see the truth these relationships hold for me. Help me see where I've been at fault and what I should have done differently. God, help me review my own conduct over the years past. Show me where I have been selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate. Show me whom I have hurt, where I have unjustifiably aroused jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness. Help me to see where I was at fault and what I should have done instead. Help me to be fearless and searching in my endeavor to right my sexual inventory.
Now, that was both prayers, right?
Yes. Both pre-sex inventory prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So... why is it so important to involve God in our sexual inventory? And that's how they start out. God, come on.
Well, it said it took honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to do this. And I don't know that I had the willingness and the capacity to go forward with any honesty
mm-hmm.
in this without his help. So what I think we've learned at this point, if we're doing the steps in order, and we've done a resentment and we've done a fear inventory, now we're going to do a sex inventory, is I think by this time we've learned our need for God, that start to use him in prayer to communicate with, to help us to open our hearts and our minds that we might be of service to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't think if we do anything less than invite him into the equation, we're not going to see how our behavior needs to change.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Yeah.
Do you think it's possible?
In other words, what I think I've understood what you just said, we need him.
We do.
At this point, to open our eyes for we can see.
We need him to expose the truth in us, and we need him for the power to change.
Right. I agree 100%.
Okay, so recognizing that need, if we're still having major, I'm not talking about difficulties, major problems with God, how are we going to do this? Do we need to go back to step 3 again? I mean, maybe we need to go back to step 4. I mean, step 4 is fear or resentment inventory and work them around God. I think sometimes it's at this place here when we're starting to get real intimate with ourselves. This is a touchy area.
Well, I would even venture to say if there's problems here, even to go back to step 1, to realize the powerlessness, and then to go to 2, that God can restore us to sanity, and to have that trust.
Mm.
Without that trust, how are you going to jump off that cliff? You know, with utter abandon, you're not going to be able to do it. And I've heard more women react to this part of the inventory, although it's not even what they think it's going to be. But it's just there's so much tied up around the sexual behavior in women who are in AA, or at least everybody I've worked with or heard in meetings, that it becomes the boogeyman. And yet, maybe that's where there is this stumbling point and a lack of recovery because of their unwillingness to get honest. So much guilt and shame. Not so much, I don't think, with men unless there's sexual abuse,
mm-hmm.
Because then that actually is probably even more difficult for men than it is for women. But I'm just saying that there is a lot of guilt and shame. A lot of women participate in behaviors, even outside of getting money or whatever for drugs and alcohol. They just do things that they would never do otherwise while they're in the midst of their addiction.
And there's and we talk about this, Dan Griffin talks about this a lot, there's these rules.
Mm-hmm.
One of the rules says that that men are supposed to have sex with, and then he asks the question, everybody? No.
Mm.
But with that hot, beautiful, blonde gal. That's one of the rules.
Mm.
You know, one of the rules is that, well, don't act like a woman. Like being a woman is bad or something,
mm.
right? One of the rules for women is I'm the victim, or I'm supposed to be, or, you know, I'm the one that's supposed to say yes to whatever behaviors out there. If I don't say yes, he won't care about me, he
yes.
won't love me. That's one of the rules. And sometimes rules are lies, right?
Oftentimes
yeah.
rules are lies.
We could call them the lies,
mm-hmm.
you know. So this goes so much deeper than any sexual activity. it's almost like the sexual activity is just like the alcohol. I mean, it's an outward manifestation of what's really going on.
I agree completely.
Yeah. People use sex as power. So how do I use my sex powers? You know, women will do it. I've seen high school girls do this with guys, right? And being the father of a 15-year-old, that concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen guys do it. High school guys do. And here's one that's really bizarre. You have sex with me. If you don't, I will spread rumors that you're a slut. If you don't, act like a slut. Wow. That is certainly inappropriate use of our sex powers. And I say powers because it is a very powerful thing. When two people come together sexually in sexual intimacy, there is a bond that takes place, a spiritual bond, and it's either spiritually healthy or spiritually devastating.
Mm.
This is a very touchy area. But let me ask you guys this. We've talked about off the air that this, the main thing is not the sexual act. How can we help convince people that when they're getting ready to do their sex inventory, this isn't necessarily about intercourse or oral sex or even inappropriate touching? What's this really about, you guys?
Well, I think I like it what the big book says. Where have I unjustifiably aroused jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, once again, it's not just about us. There is this ripple effect going outward, and we could look at this as a biological thing. If you have sex with somebody, you end up having sex with everybody they've had sex with.
Right, right.
So, you know, and that's pretty scary nowadays since, you know, that free love thing that happened in the 60s. So you're looking at exponential amount of oneness with the world. And that is a scary thought because, you know, I don't even want to go out there in that direction, but there's one thing right there, okay?
Yeah.
So, and that in turn, you know, as we have children, I don't even know what they're going to discover in the future about how that affects offspring. So you've got that part. But personally, I can tell you when I did my sex inventory, there was so little to do about what you're talking about, you know, the actual act. For the first time, I had to look with the help of God, shining the light on my behavior, how that affected my children, how that affected the person that I was involved in and the people surrounding his life. It was just this outward flow. The guilt and shame that I carried, I mean, for years, that affected every relationship afterwards. It was like this, well, like you said, this ripple effect, just going outward. And it does. How I believe, what I believe about myself will manifest in every relationship I have.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have known personally, especially the older I get, that every time I devalue myself or violate my own value system, it causes me a great deal of difficulty in future relationships.
Wow. Well said.
Mm. Yeah. I feel the same way about this. And I think that my sexual, the things I've done, mm-hmm. the things that happened to me might be a little different than you, but the method is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're talking about the same thing, because I'll jump forward. He says, where was I selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate, you know, in my relationships with people with sex. And then had I caused jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Another column we got there. You know, and we want to look at it as where were we at fault? What should I have done, you know, instead? So if we start to ask ourselves that in our own personal relationship with people, what I started to see is the harm that I was doing my children.
Yes.
The harm I was doing her children. The harm I was doing her husband, if there's one of them involved, you know, a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
That this person has, and how my conduct had harmed all these people, my sexual conduct. You know, even if I didn't sleep with the person, what I caused trying to make that happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important that we do this. And that's why we want God in this. We look at that. And, you know, the most remarkable thing I found out about the sexual inventory is, what should I have done different? I'd like to know what your answer is to that right here on the air.
Hmm. Well, for me, and my sponsor was so good about this. She said, imagine, you know, what would God have asked you to do? And all I have to do is shut my eyes and imagine that. It doesn't take long. For me to know, because I have this measuring tool called the Bible. That is my guiding tool right there. That's how I know, what does the Word of God say? And that's how I know what I would have done differently.
Mm-hmm. And what it came up for me is not much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there wouldn't be much difference. What I had to do was put the God equation in there.
Well, that's what I thought you were asking.
Yeah. What could you have done without, you know, different with God's help?
Without God's help, of course my behavior would have been the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there would have been no change.
Yeah, I would have tried.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, just like the drink, I would have been back at the liquor store.
These are about instincts and desires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have gone far beyond their exceeded.
Yes, driven by 100 forms of fear.
Because
we're talking about an instinct that's God given.
Yes.
And as it says in so well in the 12 and 12, you know, that these instincts, like you were saying, you know, we twisted them, we thwarted them, and so these are God-given instincts, you know, the instinct for security and social and emotional and all that. And yet we have this way of just perverting them, you know. The enemy of our soul shows us a perverted version of them as if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Real good example is today's music, television, and news. You know, it's okay. Modern Family. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. You know, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. I have a, for the listeners, I have a plaque on my desk. It says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to, whatever it is, that whatever stand that you need to take in your recovery, would you please take it? You know, I mean, instead of just talking about it and going to meetings and, boy, I should do this and I probably ought to do that better, then do better. You know, just because you know better doesn't mean you're going to do better, but you cannot fix what you don't acknowledge. And I think this is an area that men and women have a really hard time acknowledging, partially because of shame. What were you going to say, Bruce?
What I had to acknowledge was my inability to change that, I was that sort of individual. That's my fallen nature. Mm-hmm. I was using that as a way to satisfy myself.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so what I wanted to do is, at this point, I had to start asking myself questions like, do I really want to change? Do I see that I'm going to need God in my life to do these things? And one of the remarkable things that's happened to me, and it, I just give the Lord all the credit for this, I try not to even make statements when I'm around women of, I wish I'd have known you before. You're filling those pants back out. Anything like that, even. I try to stay away from those sort of things that are will give any sexual overtone. And I found that women feel safe around me today.
That's right. And as for me, it's like it's more like how I dress. It's like I'm not exposing parts of my body that would not be, you know, prudent. I care about the vessel that God has given me today, and I care about what God wants me to do. And as a result, I experience relationships with men today that are friendships that before I couldn't even imagine having because of that level of trust.
Yeah.
And so it's very it's rewarding to have that experience. And I want to just go back a little bit, Monty, and I know that you didn't necessarily mean this in the way possibly that I took it, but you said, you know, don't just talk about doing such and such, but actually do better. You know, and then Bruce said that I'm powerless over that.
Mm.
One of the things that happened to me, and because I, in the past, I've been very confused about my role as a Christian because I have tried to do better. Mm-hmm. And as I continually failed at that, it created this guilt and this feeling like, what's wrong with me?
Sure.
You know, I'm just not good enough. But what I have seen is that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the other scripture, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So those two scriptures, I've noticed that they're true. They're true promises that my responsibility as a child of God is to seek him with all of my heart, mind, and soul. That my relationship with him, out of a relationship with God, all of these things manifest gradually as a result of that.
Mm.
And it's not of any effort. And I'm reminded also of that scripture verse that says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's not like I'm trying to be better. It's a result of him working through me as I trust him and build this relationship with him. So if you're out there feeling frustrated because there are not changes in your life, even though you believe, I would encourage you to be still and let God be God. And just learn, sit at his feet, read his word, and pray and ask him to help you as an individual abandon yourself to him.
When I'm working with people and I'm taking them through the book of Alcoholics Anonymous and working the steps, one of the things I point out is when we get to the place where it says that seek him first and he'll give you the fellowship that you've been craving.
Exactly.
And so if we're not doing that, we're not highlighting the fact that you need what I think we have to accept is our inability to change these things.
Yes.
And our need for him in our life to give us direction and purpose, and we're to look for his will. You see, it's not the other way around. But what we want to do is say we're powerless with our mouths and with our actions, prove that we can do something. Say we're not powerless.
Right.
See? And we have a real tendency to do that, to become legalistic, as we'd say.
Or prideful.
If I could just get to that meeting, if I have the opportunity to share my story, if I will sponsor five people this month, if I will, and I mean, my God, even our communication system. We were talking about yesterday, I think they said something about iPhones, iPads,
It was so easy for us to even in our prayers, to rely upon our prayer instead of who we're praying to.
Mm. We do that a lot.
Yes.
We do that an awful lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a struggle, and I'm here as a guide just to help people get through this. And I'm going to use the same method for you as I give them for you, Monty.
Mm-hmm.
For Eve is who I'm talking to, and if you, it's the same method. And if you're asking him to help and you can do this thing correctly, what you're going to expose is your inability to conquer these things in and of yourself. You're going to give way to that The weak is flesh. The flesh is weak, I mean.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what the steps do over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Show us, yeah, you're right. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we miss that. Sometimes we look at the steps and we say, this is a tool to show me that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's a tool to show you that you're right. You can't. You're not worthy.
Yeah.
It's not. He's worthy, and he can't.
Yeah, and remember, we're talking about finding this higher power for he can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Something not human. You say it the way it puts it. But then, remember, we just did a fear inventory before this one.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we did, and I just love the Eve on this one, we're looking for things that we did to alleviate the fear that did not work.
Mm.
That did not work. And you'll find all the things you did, and you still have all this fear. But the minute, we got it marked right here, it says, we ask him to remove the fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear because we put him first. See? And so we're starting to learn. And when you start having these personal experiences, and then just more and more. And I think at the end of this thing, when you see what's being done and you get into steps 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, and you're finding out the help that you need from him, that there's going to be a, you'll stop giving credit to yourself. You won't be sitting in the room saying that you can help somebody just by sharing.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's about a personal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
One of the signs that we are depending on our own actions rather than the one that we're praying to, like depending on our own prayers, is when we say things like, I've been praying for years that God would do this, that, and the other thing, and nothing's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I never looked at it that way until about a year ago when somebody pointed out, maybe you're depending on your prayers, you know, and that's what I was doing. If I will jump through hoop A, B, and C, God will respond in this, that, and the other way. And so what I was doing was, I was trying to manipulate God into doing my will by using his prayers. Wow, that's twisted.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it. I really thought that if I just got up at 5 a.m. with my King James Version of the Bible and got super spiritual on the log out in the backyard, that God would respond.
Yeah, I get up in the mornings and I say, okay, God, come join me in my plans.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that, and I think that you nailed it right there. Come join me in my plans.
Mm-hmm.
I have these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Will you please co-sign them?
Yeah, we're supposed to be looking for his will.
Yes.
Dave. And that's what the steps are here for, to show us our need for him in our lives, because we are flawed. And I think that's the separation,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he's putting that back together again. That's called God's grace.
Yes.
So it's really a wonderful thing when it's taught that way, and then you start relying upon him. Because if you've taken a fear inventory and a sex inventory, and you see your inability to knock this stuff off, and all of a sudden you're starting to accomplish it, and you're not so afraid, and it's not driving you, who are you going to give credit to if you've taken the inventory and you've seen your inability?
Mm.
You could say, well, I did this by going to another meeting or sharing. No, it's now you've built a relationship. And now your job is to walk in that relationship on a daily basis and grow in his likeness.
Okay, so we've discussed the pre-sex inventory prayer. Let's talk about this is called a sex prayer. And this is on 69 and 70. There's two pieces to this. Let's do the first one. Father, please help me mold my sex ideals, and help me to live up to them. Help me be willing to grow towards my ideals, and help me be willing to make amends where I have done harm. Lord, please show me what to do in each specific matter and be the final judge in each situation. Help me avoid hysterical thinking or advice. That's an interesting statement.
Mm-hmm.
Please show me what to do in each specific matter. Every incident isn't always the same.
That's right. And just because it worked for me, I did something specific, what makes you think it's going to work for you?
Mm.
See, because this is a relationship that is between you and God.
Yes.
And what you're supposed to do about that. Now, I have amends that I'm willing to make, and I pray to God that He'll keep me in the willingness and give me the courage to go forward when the door is open. But I believe it would do more harm than good to put this thing out there. And I'm very, very comfortable with that. But I do believe the day will come when I'll be able to give amends for that.
Because amends isn't always appropriate when we think it is, right?
And what is your amends for? What I'm going to do is if I've caused him any harm by my conduct.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have.
You know,
we don't have to get in specifics and make this thing worse than it was. This is about hurting other people.
And I've used that example before, and I use it with my sponsees. You know, when they're making amends, I say, look, if you took the guy's car, if he loaned you his car, and you wrapped it around a telephone pole because you're drinking, you know, perhaps when you go and ask forgiveness and you make your amends, you should simply say, I need to ask you to forgive me. I'm making amends for my irresponsibility when I borrowed your car. You don't have to say, you know, when I drove down the street at 90 miles an hour and I hit that dog and I wrapped your brand new vet around the pole. I mean, you're getting the guy all mad at you again.
Mm-hmm.
We want, and I think guys have a tendency to do this. We like to get into detail. We like the gory, you know, stuff. I think it's part of our shake 'em up, shoot 'em up movie thing. You know, but see if you guys have observed the same thing. It seems to me that men have a tendency to want to fix a relational problem now. And women seem to be, for the most part, more of processors. You know, it may not be the right time to make amends 20 minutes after you've done harm. You may need to let this thing settle a little bit before you start stirring up stuff. And I think guys, what I've noticed is I want to fix it now. I want it done now. I don't want any harm. I don't want anything come between us. Let's fix it. Especially when it comes to other women. Do you think that I'm on track there somewhere?
Well, I don't. It may be that that's the norm, but I'm more of a let's hurry up and.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, okay. I don't like the dissonance. I want resolution, and sometimes I have jumped the gun and spoken too soon because I haven't waited for God to shine His light and give me wisdom on something. So
yeah, I don't want to go out and start making an amends for my sexual conduct and then still be repeating the same stuff.
Right.
See, and I don't believe in that. Well, if you're still living in doing the same things, you're still doing the same things.
Yes.
With or without the drugs.
Yep.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And the drugs just set that ball open, and we did things maybe we normally wouldn't have done if it wouldn't have been for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still other things.
My wife's a processor. And I found this to be true with my youngest boy. He is too. So if I say something that hurt them, right, they're not going to receive the apology right away. Colin will distance himself from me. And he'll get over it, and he'll be fine. But it's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to learn to be all right with that. But I don't like it, because I want there to be peace.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I am exactly the same way.
Yeah.
And that's selfish.
It is.
It is. And but I do. I want relationships to be restored. But on the positive side of that is I easily forgive, because I do want that restoration.
Me too.
If somebody comes and apologizes for me, it's done. I'm able to let that go, and I'm so grateful for that. But yeah, it does.
The other thing is the pollutant to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, that's the
If I'm the one that's caused harm, I want to make it all better. I want you to love me again.
I hear you.
I want to feel the love.
So what does it mean by help me avoid hysterical thinking or advice?
Well, I think there's a lot of people out there that think a lot of things about sex.
Yes.
You know.
And our solution is not things human. Like you said at the very start, we need to go to God with this and ask mm-hmm. him what he wants us to do. It's very individual. It depends, you know, on so many factors. It could be very, very selfish to go and make amends to, you know, let's say...
Now just to make yourself happy.
Right, but for an example, let's say I had an affair with a married man. What if, you know, part of the, one of the people that I harmed, of course, was the wife. But she's in ignorance. She doesn't know about this. But I go and make amends to her. That's so harmful.
Yes.
So harmful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now you're not making amends. You're just making a mess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I'm in a situation where if you had a relationship and if mm-hmm. there was another spouse involved,
mm-hmm.
And would it be harmful to the children?
Of course it would.
Oh, right.
You bet it would. Mm-hmm. See, and them are the things that I had to back off and see, why was I making this amends? Did I want to cause more harm?
Yes.
Was it just for I could be set free? Am I really thinking about putting the other mm-hmm. person's feelings ahead of my own?
Yeah.
See, I'm still doing the same stuff.
There you go.
You see, so I ask God for the strength mm-hmm. and the ability to step forward if the door ever opened where I could do that. I'm willing to do it, but I just know it'll cause, in my mm-hmm. own heart, I know it. But I also believe that the door will open someday for me to say something of the accord of that, you know, I'm sorry that my conduct caused harm mm-hmm. to you and your children.
I remember years ago listening to Dr. Ruth Westheimer, and a guy called her up and said, I'm a gay man. My mom doesn't know it. She has a week to live. She's very sick, and I feel I need to tell her.
Mm.
And she says, don't you dare. See, that is the most selfish, self-centered thing. She said... And she wouldn't even get into whether she agreed or disagreed. She said, your mom does not need that kind of stress on her just to make you feel better.
Yes.
You know, and I think we think sometimes that we have to expose everything about us. And when you get really right down to it, is it because we want, and we've, you know, I've heard sponsors tell their sponsees, you make amends for you, not for the person you're making the amends to. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yes, that is so... Oh.
you ought just not say anything.
Yes.
If that's your thing. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the last one.
Remember when we're talking about step 9 here, and it says this, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except to do so would injure them or others.
Yeah.
Well, people want to put into what this step is that you're part of the others. No,
you're not. Yeah, that's a good cop-out. Or they think that means making amends to your drug dealer because you owe him money. Give me a break. the second part of this says, and we're going to close with this, Father, please grace me all of that. Father, that's what I love. This is our dad, you know? Father, please grace me with guidance in each questionable situation, sanity, and strength to do the right thing. If sex becomes very troublesome, quiet my imperious urge, help me not to yield, and help me or keep me from heartache as I throw myself the harder into helping others. Help me think of their needs, and help me work for them.
See, there's altruism and the knowledge that you're not able to do this.
Yeah.
So you're asking him for the ability to go forward and to act correctly. And
you're not saying, be with me as I conquer.
No.
You're saying, help me.
Yeah.
Because I can't do it.
Yes, I can't do it.
This is good stuff.
To admit that sort of stuff about ourselves, you know, and to have these thoughts that come into my mind, and I think sometimes that they're blessings because that I know to turn to Him. Mm-hmm. See, and He is my spiritual father.
One of my favorite, and then we're going to play this song. But one of my favorite people. Who is a clinician and a counselor and a helper. He says, and I talked to Bruce earlier, he says when he works with somebody, what is it, and I want to encourage you listeners that are really having a hard time with your sex inventory. This guy says, what is the one thing that if you shared with me, you believe that I would change how I felt about you? Because, see, the lie is, if I tell you this, you're not going to love me anymore. Mm. And that might be the case with some people, but not with your Heavenly Father. God, I love what a gal that my wife just adores says, God is not mad at you. He loves you. He hates sin. He wants you to hate sin, but He's not mad at you. What you tell God and the right person, because I think God will lead you in that direction, we've got to get over this thing that if I say this, then you're going to hate me. Mm. You're going to think less of me. Because guess what? Even if they do, one of the things that these steps help us do, depending on God, is to emotionally unhook from the other person's reaction. Because, yeah, people do react. People have knee-jerk reactions. It doesn't mean that that's what their heart is. You know. Our salvation is free. But healing comes confession one to another. There's something about that. Mm-hmm. And we've missed the boat. Because of fear. That's why I think one of the reasons that the fear inventory comes before the sex inventory is because we're dealing with some things that might keep us from the sex inventory. So let's get that out of the way, and so we can reflect back on our fear inventory. And like you said, all the way back to our first step. So what is it about you that you feel the other person is going to hate you if you share that with them? I would encourage you to really go to God and ask Him, you know, especially when you're getting ready to do your fifth step, you know, who is this person that you need to share this with? Because you need to do it. And God will direct you in your path. It may not be your sponsor. You know, it wasn't with me. But just be really open to that. Be open to how important it is for you to open your mouth. Secrets kill.
Yes, they do.
And there's something about exposing ourselves properly that is so healing.
Yes.
You know, what we think was a boulder sometimes is no bigger than a pebble. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting what a pebble will do in a body of calm water, right? Just mess up the whole thing, mm-hmm. if we let it. So we need to place it properly. So folks, please understand this is an important. If you're working the steps, this is an important area. You don't need to be skipping over this, right, you guys?
Right. Well, and I always see it as a visual that what you keep in the dark, the enemy has control over, and when you confess your sin to another human being that is trustworthy, you're bringing it into the light. And by the way, God already knows whatever it is, so it's not
sure. You're gonna surprise Him.
Yeah, you're not surprising Him, and He's wanting, His desire is that you're set free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next week we're going to be talking about some prayers in the fifth step. And possibly even in the sixth step. We'll just see how it goes. So get ready for that. We're going to close out with this song by a group I've come to really enjoy called Sidewalk Prophets. And this song is called Change This Heart. Check this out.
trying to run away from this false reality. No matter where I turn my back, you're always right in front of me. So I push you away, but I don't know that I'm wrong. I don't know the words to say to make my faith that's wrong. So I will pray to you right now, take away my sin, heal away my brokenness, and change this heart again. My own selfish pride, Lord, I have so many masks to cover up and hide. So I will pray to you right now to take away my sin, come heal away my brokenness, and change this heart again.
Until next time, we're wishing God serenity for you.
Broadcast of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.